We pray. Heavenly Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Amen. Your word is truth. We instinctively think of the Bible that I have, of which I have here on the podium. But is it possible to misuse the Bible? By that I don't mean tearing pages out or dropping it carelessly. Rather, I mean, is it possible to misunderstand its meaning or misinterpret its passages? Yes, that happens a lot. Many false teachings, in fact, ancient and modern, are the result of misinterpretation. You could point to the religion of Judaism or Mormonism, belief systems which claim the Bible or part of the Bible as a foundation, but which also throw out, let go of the most important part, one could say, the gospel core truth about Jesus Christ. Followers of such religions then fit the description of what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3. For until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil lies on their heart. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. When the apostle wrote that a long time ago, most of the Jewish people in the Roman Empire, his own countrymen, were quite avidly using the Old Testament in the synagogues and the temple, but at the same time, they were not accepting the claim that their Old Testament Bible was talking about Jesus, whom they had rejected as the promised Messiah. Consequently, they had turned their Old Testament Bible into a false platform of trying to live a certain way and do certain things to earn the favor and blessing of the one true God. An endeavor that you know is always doomed to fail. Now, I don't bring this up to make you feel somehow superior to the Jewish people back then or even today. Their example, in fact, is an accurate picture of how our own human nature would react under similar circumstances, and even how our sinful flesh is thinking right now. The reason that you know and accept the gospel of Christ is only because God gave that to you. Or to use Paul's way of putting it, God took away the veil from your heart when he gave you your faith in Christ. And this faith which saves you and me is like a key, the only key to unlock the Bible's meaning and to have direct access to all of its true teachings, plus its good news of promises and blessings, all wrapped up in the fact that Jesus really is your promised Savior, your triumphant God, your loving Lord. We have found the tip of the iceberg here with many related issues at stake and some very important things firmly settled. I'm thinking of a question that keeps popping up because you and I still have the same problem of sin. That question is this: will God forgive all my sins? All your sins? Even the ones that trouble us the most? The answer continues to be Yes, because of Christ. We can keep going with that. Will God really keep all these promises for me? For you? Again, we can know the answer. Yes, He will, because of Jesus. Here's a question that someone might ask you someday, because they're curious. Hey, what's the Bible about anyway? Why was it written? Again, the answer is Jesus. He's the reason. Not only as the connecting point between the two testaments, but especially because of this fact, He exclusively is the Savior sent to redeem all people, to give them victory over sin and death. We can keep going with this way of thinking. You should keep going with this way of thinking. Why do you go to high school here at Emmanuel? Shouldn't the answer be because of Jesus? An answer that you could share with a friend back home who might very well ask you, hey, why do you go to school so far away? That school in Eau Claire. Yes, the answer, the truth of the gospel and what it means is not just for us, but for other people, like the unchurched friend in need of the truth, or the Christian friend in need of comfort, or the Christian family who needs hope and assurance as they lose a Christian loved one to death. Of course, when we say that the answer is Jesus for these various situations, we realize, I hope, that we've said quite a mouthful. Jesus, or Christ, is more than a name to speak in a prayer or read in a passage. He is more than a powerful person of the past. More than a great man who did great things. He is Lord God who created all things. He is the perfect substitute who kept every commandment in your place and made it count as your righteousness. He is the perfect sacrifice who paid for every one of your sins on the cross and made it count as your forgiveness. And then after that sacrifice, He became and still is this conqueror of death, proven by His own resurrection, which was followed by a promise that He would come back for you and me one day with glory for you and me one day. Meanwhile, as we wait, He is still with you at all times. He blesses you in ways you don't even realize. He fights for you, especially against the devil. He sends angels to be at your side. He talks to God the Father on your behalf. He answers your prayers. He leads you and me through His Word, this ancient book, which will always be the reliable truth, the light of life. Through it, we have the key of knowing God by faith, living under His grace, living with Him forever, all because of Jesus. Amen. The name of Jesus features in our hymn today. We sing hymn 360, the first three stanzas. The first three stanzas of hymn 360.
Glory of my God.
is an announcement.